Hello, and welcome back to NYPD Blue Balls. It's exciting. We're back for Season 7, Episode 1, Loogie Nights, and I'm just so happy we're back. It's been quite a pause. I'm sorry about that. I'm going to do my best to keep it on track for as long as I can, but it's important to note that this episode, like many of our recent ones, is a commentary episode, so we are actually watching Season 7, Episode 1, Loogie Nights of NYPD Blue while recording Season 7, Episode 1, Loogie Nights of NYPD Blue Balls. So it might be better to watch them, watch the episode while listening at the same time to get the entire experience. However, I have to apologize because apparently I don't know what on the count of three means. You can watch NYPD Blue on Hulu. It's with their subscription, or you can get the episodes on Amazon. You can purchase all the seasons there, or you can get the DVDs. I know it's harder for people in different parts of the country, but NYPD Blue, it's worth purchasing.
You let me know.
All right. One, two, three, play. Hello, everybody, and welcome to NYPD Blue Balls. Right now, we're beginning Season 7, Episode 1, Loogie Nights.
I have a complaint.
Right off
you the... don't know what on the count of three means.
What do you mean? What do you see right now?
I heard you say, on the count of three, one, two, three, click now. There was a click. You click in between now. Do you not know what on the count of three means?
Do we have to start over?
Push it on three.
Do we have
No, we're fine. I'm watching racist, dumbass Ricky Schroeder talk to Medavoy.
Because Medavoy, the only point he has in this episode is to say he got hugged by a dude covered in oil at a parade.
Wasn't it a gay pride parade?
I assumed it was Mac. Well, we have here our two uniformed police officers who have an assault victim of a guy named Mike. And they're about to run down that before they found him, they also assaulted him in the alley.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah. Just, you know, wrapped him up a little bit.
It's a very interesting scene because they say, oh, we broke up a fight between Mike and this other guy, and they give him his name. It's like something DePaulo. Like Jerry DePaulo. And then when they break up the fight, this Mike spits in Baker, who is a face from earlier episodes, spits in Baker's face, so they give him a little tune-up. Hey, Kyle, just a little tune-up.
A little touch and touch.
A little touch.
Don't forget who you're talking to, brother.
They say they leave the guy, and this Jerry DePaulo must have come back and really hurt him, and then they found him in the alley dying.
They wouldn't hurt him. You know what I mean?
So, this whole episode is going to be problematic.
Baker's Children on the Corn partner does a pretty good job the whole time of being, like, kind of a douchey-douche, you know? I really enjoyed it, actually.
Children of the Corn partner.
That's a blonde you don't really get anymore. You don't really see. That's tough, especially at that age.
Yeah.
Like, to get that color blonde, like, I mean, they are actors. They're probably in the sun a lot. But, I don't know.
But, yeah, I think these cops do a great job because Baker, right now, Sibowitz and Sorensen are talking about how this is a bag of crap because they've basically admitted.
Sibowitz doesn't like the way this one smells.
Because it's like, they basically told us right away there is reason to believe they did this to him.
Yeah. They gave too much information for no reason.
And then Sorensen gets like an emergency beep from JB, his CI, who's another character we've seen already quite a bit. For some reason, Schroeder compliments Sipowitz.
He tells him that he's an attractive man, which Sipowitz is like, the fuck?
Trying to date me?
Like, I mean, Sibowitz has, I guess, been trying to take care of himself, you know, post-Casas, is that right?
PC? Yeah, this is post-Casas, PC.
All PC for you. Here we go, NYPD Blue Balls.
Yeah, we're at the credits, this is NYPD Blue Balls, where I, Kirk, and the other voice, Kyle, talk about every episode of NYPD Blue. And this is Loogie Nights, and I think, you know, we're going to upset some blue lives with this one.
Hey, but Kirk, as long as we don't forget that they matter.
Like, it's such a problematic episode, top to bottom, and there's so many lines that I want to highlight, because they're kind of sad and depressing. But Baker is a character that Sorensen has run into, who we've questioned his fitness to be a cop already, twice.
Numerous times.
So now he's in another he's in another sticky situation with this Children of the Corn police officer. What's his name? Bradshaw? It's like, yeah, Joey
Bradshaw. Whatever his name is, he's got issues.
If he had another last name that started with L, it could be Bradshaw Layfield. He could be the wrestler. Nope. Okay.
Bradshaw, part of was it him and Farouk?
Yep, the APA.
APA.
So here's JB being a cheap piece of shit who doesn't start his order until the guy paying shows up.
He's a crackhead, dude. This is how they do it.
And then he calls her a vampire-looking bitch, which was like, Jesus, okay, JB.
But the way he does it, dude, this dude's like good at. I think this dude does a good job as an actor, but like, he's very endearing, even though he's kind of a druggy scumbag, you know?
Yeah, this JB, he's a recurring character played by Jeff Cahill. He was in Blues Brothers, ER, but he was also in The Shadow with Alec Baldwin.
He was in Blues Brothers?
Yeah, I guess he was one of the kids.
2000?
No, not 2000. He was in the first one. But he's,
really? Wow.
He's basically confirming the story. But what's crazy is it took me the second watch to realize he called Sorensen. He's like, hey, let those cops know I'm not going to drop the dime on them.
Yeah, no, he does, yeah, for sure.
He's like,
he's just
let him know that I didn't see anything. And he's like, yeah, I didn't see anything. Don't worry about it. Just let him know that I didn't see anything. But even he figures out, like, the loogie guy got hurt then. But I did find it very funny that his entire purpose of this meeting was like, make sure the cops don't come after me, please.
Yeah, he knows. He lives on the street, dude. Like, he doesn't live, I don't think he lives on the street anymore, but like, that's what his life is all the time. Like, he definitely was like, hell no.
And he tries to pick up on this woman that he has shown that he's cheap as fuck and called her a vampire looking bitch. So I don't know what he thinks he's gonna do.
That's just New York swag, baby.
Now here is where I lose a little respect for Detective Kirkendall. It's basically gossipy
shit. I'm waiting to see what happens. I forget why. Oh, Dawn.
Yeah, her ex-husband is like back in the picture. And she's kind of like looking for her friend to approve that it's okay. Which is...
And she does, and I mean, I know it's written this way, but she does this shitty thing where it's like, I think she's using her kids as the reason first, other than the real reason. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think she's missing that Dawn D. And she's saying like, yeah, but it'll be really good for the kids.
She's missing that Dawn Donger is what you're saying.
That donger?
She's missing that donger.
That Dawn donger.
She's missing that Dawn to Dawn Dawn Dawn. But it is weird because he's supposedly like a real scumbag and he's like the worst. And that's all we've ever heard about Dawn. He's the fucking worst. And then the beginning of this season, he's like, but he's like cool now?
Yeah, he's like good. Like, yeah. They made like, I think, a pretty thick like storyline of Dawn being like a fucking douche. And like, especially the whole thing, like when she's like going through it with the lawyer guy, like they lay it thick that that Dawn's a douche, and then it's just like, hey, but he's still so sexy though, Kirk.
I also love that she just says out loud, like, I guess I just wanted the opinion I wanted. But also this,
I mean I think she kind of I think she's a little bit mature about it. I think not to like foreshadow too much, Mm-hmm. But knowing what we know happens this season, I think this is a good starting point to show how their friendship is super strong. Mm-hmm. And, like, they are able to talk to each other like that, you know? But then they're like, I don't know, maybe later on something changes. I don't know. But I think right now it's a good point to show that, like, they can talk like that openly and they get along well. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying. Right now we're talking to Jerry, who was involved in the fight before Mike, who is called Poodlehead Mike in this. He fought with him because Poodlehead Mike was trying to flaunt two quarters and he owes Jerry $20. So he fought him, and he's just explaining that the cops broke it up and he went back home. And I have a question.
Yeah.
Does this guy do a good job? Like, the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, he's doing a great job. And then the second time, I was like, he's kind of trash.
Well, no, he's not really given a lot to work with.
Yeah. He didn't he did admit right now to being a rapist, kind of.
Who hasn't done that? A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know what I mean?
You know, sleep creeping, where you have sex with a woman while she's asleep. You know, we all do it.
Yeah.
And she woke up. I love how they
look. Gave her a little love, Amanda.
I also like how they give each other a look like, ugh, well, he's not the guy. And not like, what the fuck did you just say?
It's all odd, dude. Like, and it doesn't seem like they're too torn up with the fact that he, like, raped a girl.
Nope. And then...
It's all good.
And then they find out, like, JB confirms the story, and he's like, well, do we know anything about Poodlehead Mike? And now John gives him the news that Mike has died. And of course, because Sipowicz knows how to direct his anger, he takes it out on John.
So since he died, and all dogs go to heaven, right? So Poodlehead should be good?
Yes, Kyle. By nickname transitive property.
Okay, all dogs go to heaven, we're good to go. Cool.
By transitive property of nicknames and Don Bluth animated features. He's gonna go to heaven with Burt Reynolds.
Was he part of the Bluth family?
No. So this is also interesting, where they go to re-canvas and then other cops show up and like, hey, what'd you find? Hey, so what does it look like, huh? What's going on?
Well, I don't think the other cops are showing up. I think it's, what's his name?
Bradshaw? Tell him?
No, it's not Bradshaw, the Laughlin.
Laughlin.
I think Laughlin's the one who's like, let's go check it out, because he's friends with those guys. So he's like being like a little like sneaky little paying attention jerk, you know what I mean?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
I don't think you're picking up what I'm putting down. That's okay.
Well, you think he's doing it of his own will?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think he's pretending to be a good, like, oh, what do you need? This is my sector. This is my beat. What do you need help with? But at the same time, he's trying to get to know what he knows. Mm-hmm. Because he's trying to discredit the crackhead girl who's coming out. And he's trying to do that because I think he's protecting his friends. Yeah, he says, I went to academy with Bradshaw. He's a good guy. It's all that blue line shit.
That's it. Right now they're going to talk to this meth head, who I thought did a great job being a meth head.
It looks like what I see on the streets every day, so.
I was surprised to find out this crackhead who plays Sarah, Alicia Brockwell, she only has 5 credits.
Oh, wow.
She only did this in like 4 other TV shows. I'm like, that's interesting. Because I thought she did a good job. We didn't talk about the female police officer, Sherry Rappaport, playing Mary Franco, who I didn't really particularly enjoy, to be perfectly honest. But
Oh, really? I don't mind it. I like how she starts giving Sorensen some shit right away.
Oh, that's true. Sorensen needs more shit.
Yeah, he does a little bit.
And here we have Bradshaw and Baker basically posting up down in the lobby to see what they have.
Yeah, and then they see the crackhead and Spooker a little bit.
And also, this little exchange between Bradshaw is kind of like the whole thing we're leading down is like what's his name? Baker's a bit of a little bitch, and this other guy's a little too hard, and they're just trying to get their nose. Also, Sipowicz held Laughlin's hand, which was weird, but we'll let that go. But they're on a tightrope because they have to convince them that nothing's going on while getting Laughlin away. Wow. It's crazy because it's all just to make these guys feel better so that they don't flip a bitch even though one of them murdered a dude. And I think about Sarah, like, she's going through some shit because there's all this aggression and she's like, all I did was watch someone murder a guy in an alley and now all these guys are yelling at each other.
All I did was a little bit of meth and then watch a dude... Why can't I just live?
This is America.
I thought this was America.
Play with the fingerprint materials. That's a good line.
You like that one? Makes you chuckle.
I also like how if this was HBO, it would just be simple to be like, hey, how about you get over here and shut the fuck up?
Shut your fucking mouth. Many more N-words.
Many more. Not just
a few. Many more.
Not just a noticeable amount.
A good amount.
But yeah, I thought this scene was pretty well put together. Just the idea of all these different motivations and people... Like, it's crazy. Because I felt everybody is doing a pretty good job, except for, you know...
Mary.
Well, Mary's okay in this scene. I just question the acting choices towards the end of this episode.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I get that. But there's a lot of different people in this scene. A lot of different characters in it. It flows pretty well.
And it's also funny because, and we'll talk about it more with the episode. The whole episode is all of these cops trying so hard to not hear what they basically know is the truth.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Like Sipowicz and Sorensen, like from the get-go, have a bad feeling about the whole situation, but they are actively looking for like a reason to be like, no, we're good. We don't have to like go after them. You know, like they're like hoping that they can just be like, yeah, we're good.
And when they have this talk with Laughlin, like they go, yeah, so we have her testimony. I have the testimony of my CI and what they told us. It's pretty open and shut, dude. And then he's like, well, I'm not going to be happy about you putting away cops. It's like, they are, one of them is a murderer.
Yeah.
He beat a dude to death. Like, sure, he was your friend in the academy. He beat a dude to death.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
Come on, man. And then he's like upset. He's like, what do you want me to do? Tiptoe around? Get out the back way? And it was like, yeah. You can't let him know that it looks like we got him.
Yeah, it is so weird.
And then this awkward as fuck scene where they make a joke out of what the crackhead is telling him, or the meth head. Some type of head.
Well, she's not a real person, so it's okay. Sorry. Too much truth? That's how they're treating her.
Where they're like, yeah, she saw centipedes. And then Baker's like, yeah, we're joking. Everybody's joking.
This is what it felt like when I worked at my first job, and all of those like old racist white men would get together and like think they were being funny when they would make fun of like Obama and shit. this is what that scene feels like. And shit, like I'm sitting with like this laughing awkwardly while these dumbasses like makes a fool of himself.
And also, like, I know I was going to talk about him. This guy playing Officer Joey Bradshaw, his name is James Hanlon. And he does a good job in this episode. I mean, so does Kevin Dillon, who plays Baker. He's famous for Entourage. And
that's crazy he ended up on Entourage.
Entourage. But James Hanlon, who plays Bradshaw, he has directed 3 different documentaries about September 11th.
Really?
Yeah. 3 different documentaries.
Is one of them titled Loose Change?
No. Okay. In fact, I believe they're kind of like sequelized. It's 9-11, 9-11 10 years later, and 9-11 15 years later.
I thought it would have been awesome if they were like, it's really weird. They're like sequels. It's 9-11, 9-12, 9-13.
It's 9-11, 10-12, and 11-13.
9-12, 9-13. Just those 3 days in a row. That's what we're going to talk about.
But then,
oh, man. Dude.
And then this fucking scene where Sipowicz is like, you don't want to know. I'm going to sit here and be awkward, but you don't want to know.
I mean, he's right, though, dude. Like, he knows it's a power. Like, that's what I'm saying. He knows it's like, he knows it's a shit show. But, like, to actively working to not get this guy in trouble. It's crazy.
And it's, yeah. It's also awkward how, and one of my favorite scenes in this episode is when they finally talk to Martens at IAB. And it's basically just to wrap up the episode and kind of get everybody caught up. But just their reaction when Martens starts talking to them is like so aggressive when it's like, You did the work. You found everything. I'm just telling you what has to happen now. Like,
yeah.
What are you mad at me for?
Yeah.
And here's Don to Don Don Don, his new name, for the rest of the season.
Hey, that Don 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 Don.
He's buying a more expensive suit for Kyle's first communion. Remember your suit for your first communion?
No, because I didn't do that shit. Because
we weren't Catholic.
Oh, that's right. It's a Catholic thing.
It's also...
Yeah. Go ahead.
To me, I don't know. To me, that seems like such a scam. Not just Catholicism, but like it seems like such a scam and such an industry where it's like, well, your kid's doing First Communion. You better get the good suit. Even though he's gonna grow out of it in a year.
And you know what? While you're getting that fursuit, I know a guy who I can send you to for that fursuit. It'll be great. Don't worry about it.
A good Catholic gentleman who knows communion
suits. Who knows what suit is all about.
It's also mentioned that they had themselves a little hookup. And
sexy time.
And Don wants a little bit more.
Don wants to come by for a rendezvous.
Kirk,
she puts the kibosh on that real quick.
Yeah, she was like, that's a one-time thing. And he's like, okay, I guess I'll keep paying for these suits and whatnot and wear you down.
Yeah, but it's like, where you been, dog? Like, you can't just come around expecting this puss.
Also, why is there a filing cabinet in the corner of this bathroom?
That's like mad close to the urinal. I guarantee you someone put that there just so like they could lean on it while they piss.
Maybe.
100%. That's it.
There's a cup on there too.
Sometimes you get thirsty.
This is the scene I was talking about where they're running everything down for Martens. And Sipowicz is doing it in his classic, like, way.
Classic rundowns, letting them know what's up.
And Martens is asking clarifying questions that they take as, like, insults for some reason.
Well, because Martens, the sad thing is, like, Martens is just doing his job.
Oh, yeah.
But Sipowicz, and, like, just making sure he gets all the information, and Sipowicz is just in this mindset of not wanting to have to just tell the story over and over. I think he definitely is just like, I'm done with this. I don't want to deal with it anymore. And so the more questions he asks, the more he has to think and deal with it.
And it's pretty, it's also pretty clear by their reaction to what Martin says, which, spoiler alert, he's like, you got to go at him. You got to get the statements. And Sipowicz is like, the hell we do. And he's like, I can't do it because then they know they have a murder charge. If you do it, you might just be getting more information.
Yeah, Sipowicz doesn't like that because it makes him look like he's like a rat almost.
And this is also where Martens is like,
Neil Baker? Neil Baker? The Neil Baker I just said was okay and let you put out on the street, Neil Baker?
And it was, oh God, I love Martens. I know it's impossible now, but I would want like an Obi-Wan Kenobi show on Hulu that's just Martens.
About Martens? No, that would be pretty fun.
Like, Martens is so fucking good in the show. But I just like, I love the scene because Martens is like, you have to do it. I can't do it because then they know. And Sipowicz is like, well, then you can't watch me do it.
Yeah, which is like, I mean, okay, whatever, buddy.
It's all the we don't want to be locking up cops mentality, but it's also like, dude, you guys figured it out and then told me. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, that's the other thing, like, that, like, fucking Martens is in a bind because, like, he didn't ask for this.
He just got a call. He just got a call today.
He got a call from, I got a call from you guys, and you guys said, hey, can we talk? And I was like, sure. And then you dropped all this shit on me. It's like, this ain't me, dude.
And then here's where Sorensen goes hard on Baker, and then Baker reveals his, a little bit of his bitchiness.
Yeah, he won't let him go.
When he's like, what about what we said? He like slams the table. And Baker basically throws everything on his partner.
Yeah.
Now, one of the lines that is in this scene that I think is pretty interesting, besides the entire episode, he says, the guy hawks a loogie in my face, so I give him a hard backhand and then insult every female member of his family. I was like, okay, well, some would find that a little over the line.
Again, Kirk. They're not people. They're not humans. They're just women. It's okay.
We can insult them.
That's what we've learned from this show. Like, we can just insult people's family members. It's totally fine.
So he's saying that Bradshaw is just like drilling him in the alley with like crazy hits. And Baker saw JB across the street and was like, we have to go find him and make sure he doesn't say anything.
You know what's crazy, though, is we have, like, cell phone footage of cops, like, doing this exact same thing now.
Yeah.
Like, beating people up, saying these are my streets, I'm gonna keep them clean.
Well, what...
Like, nothing's changed, dude. Well, nothing's changed, bro.
I will say this, and I know how it's gonna sound,
but I love it already.
But there is video footage of that, but there's also video footage of, like, a cop wilding out, and then other cops get on that guy's case, and then something actually happens to him in the video.
Like they were on Nick Cannon's wilding out?
No, Kyle, they weren't on Nick Cannon's wilding out. anyway, here's...
They were urban improving?
Why is it urban, Kyle? Why is it different from regular improv?
You're not. No one will ever get me in trouble for this. If you don't think that was urban improv, then we're never going to have a conversation. decision.
Well, apparently you haven't seen the episode featuring Colin Mockery.
I mean, Mikey Day was on that show, and now he's on SNL, so it helped him somehow.
Anyway, this scene is amazing, and we're talking over it, where
Sipowicz has to be the one to question him. It can't be Sorensen. Sorensen's not tough enough to question him.
And
you don't want to play that card, asshole.
Yeah, it's... Because there's a line that Sipowicz says that I was like, that is fucking bonkers that line is okay. And it was, I think it happens after this, where he's like, you let him die in the alley. And he turns around from him and he says, I've lied for cops for 30 years so you can do murder? And I was like, so murder is the only line. Because the implication is, hey, we can lie about cops forever, but as soon as a murder happens, then there's a problem.
And then the best part is he goes on this whole thing. It's like, you could smack a guy around, you bring him into the house, or you smack him around and take him to the hospital, but you don't leave him in the street to die.
Yeah. And then this fucking dude, Bradshaw, was like, hey, I was going to bring him in. We had to go intimidate a witness. Look, you know when you're stacking crime and you
the end of it is like, you know, I think that Bradshaw's more upset about is that his partner was a bitch.
Yeah.
He's more mad that his partner was a little bitch than anything else. It doesn't matter that he killed somebody. It doesn't matter that he's probably going to lose his job. No. I had a scumbag little bitch partner.
He's upset that his partner ran after a witness that he feels in his mind he intimidated enough.
Yeah.
I got that one. We're good.
Yeah, we're good. He's scared enough. He saw the look in my eyes. He's not going to fuck with me.
We need to get this dude to the hospital because I beat him really bad.
Yeah. Oh, fuck, dude.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
It's crazy, but then at the same time, like, it probably still happens.
Well, I'm not saying that, but what's also, like, thinking about just watching it, from my perspective, I'm like, fuck, this episode's gonna get us in trouble. With, like, the four people.
I think we've actually been pretty good with it, though.
Because it's like, fuck. The title of this episode should literally be, Most People Shouldn't Be Cops. Like, in reality, like, every single person kind of made questionable decisions, except for Fancy.
Let's think about that for a second, right? Let's think about that. Like, but that's a good question, actually, to think, like, to talk about. Like, are people, like, are humans, should humans be cops? Like, do they have the mental capacity to do it?
I think some people do, but it's a rare amount, but they need a lot more than they can get.
I don't know. Because everyone's selfish. Like, people are just inherently selfish. It's like, this is what we do. And so I think being a cop goes against that. I don't know. You see all of these things that talk about how, you see all of these things and all these documentaries about, like, cops who, like, had, like, got caught doing all these, like, crazy fucked up things, right? Like, selling drugs or being, like, basically pimps or whatever. But when you, like, first talk about them, they're like, oh, dude, we thought they were, like, the greatest cop ever. Like, they were, like, by the book. They were doing, like, everything they're supposed to do. Like, they were the training people. So it's like, I don't know. It's just that I just don't know, like, if people should be cops because there's too much power behind it.
Well, I mean, the next episode gets into it, too, but it's like their emotions... Like, right now, they're pissed because they're going to get a rip that they didn't go to IAB fast enough. And right now, Schroeder...
Yeah, that's the part of the, like, that's like some government shit where I'm just like, okay, that's dumb. If that's a real thing, that's really dumb. That would piss me off, too.
Well, because in reality, they're like, we had to consider all the possibilities before we go to IAB, but they're like, nope, as soon as a cop's involved, you got to bring them in. It's like, but that would have fucked up everything.
Yeah, and then it's funny because, like, that would have fucked up everything, but then, like, what's his name? My guy from IAB.
Oh, Martens.
Martens is the first one to be like, hey, let's do this that we normally don't do. Like, yeah. I want you guys to keep interviewing him. And they're like, no, we don't want to do that. It's like, you have to because blah, 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 blah. And it's like, what? Like, but you can't give us a little leeway on this shit? Like,
yeah, it doesn't make any sense, really.
Yeah, it's like, but that's like, I feel like that's some like government shit that you see a lot. Like that excess red tape.
So the scene we got now, Sipowicz making dinner for his son and talking to him. I feel like no...
Be careful what you say here.
I feel like no scene is more proof that Sipowicz has some sort of autism diagnosis. Like, just the way he talks to his son is so matter-of-factly and so, like, so weird. Where he's like, don't be distributing your mashed potatoes all over the table here. He's like, I'm going to tell you about your brother. He helped people too. And it's like, he is a child? He's a child. Like,
what? Yeah, we also have to remember, like, Sipowicz is going through something too. And, like, in a way, this is his way of being able to deal with that.
And also, I believe...
I don't know. With his wife dying and stuff, maybe he's feeling like it's a point that he needs to, like, make sure that he's, like, passing things along because, you know, you don't know how long they're going to be here, blah, blah, blah. You know, all that bullshit.
Don't be distributing your mashed potatoes all over the table.
You're really hung up on this mashed potato business.
Well, also, it looked like...
He's basically just telling his kid, like, hey, don't make a fucking mess. Like, I don't see the problem in that. Like, you're really fucking hung up on these mashed potatoes, though, man.
Well, also, he at one point, it looks like the kid takes a spoon of ketchup and eats it. Just ketchup. Like, there's nothing else on that spoon. And I'm like, that's kind of gross.
You've never done that before?
No, I have not. I've put ketchup on fries, on burgers, sandwiches, but not...
Sandwiches?
Not just a fucking...
You put it on a Sammy?
But yeah, it really felt like this scene was...
What sandwich are you putting ketchup on?
I don't know, Kyle. I just said it. Are we investigating my ketchup use?
Yeah, because a cheeseburger is not a sandwich, so...
Isn't it?
What sandwich?
It's two pieces of bread and then something
in between. It's a cheeseburger. It's a burger. Burgers and sandwiches are in their own... get their own category.
Okay.
What kind of ketchup are you putting on your sandwiches, Kirk?
Let's not talk about that. We got this right now. So, Shannon walks up to give him grief. Right? Two things. One, it seems like Schroeder went to a cop bar after he just put cops in jail. Doesn't seem like a good idea. Seems like a way to get into a fight. Two...
But see, the thing... No, but Danny comes in hot.
Yeah.
Danny's the one who's just like, oh, you don't want to ask me about my sister? And he's like, then he makes a comment about putting two cops away. It's like, dude, he wasn't even talking to you about your sister.
But, to be fair, Mike, when Shannon saw his sister, Shannon was all like, yo, let me get at that sister, though. Yo, let me get
Shannon,
some.
But Shannon was pretty respectful about it. And I think Shannon handled the sister thing pretty well. He was like, he liked her, he picked her up for Danny, like, Danny asked him to, like, give her a ride, blah, 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 and so he did, and then, like, all he said to him was, like, yo, like, if you could put a good word in for my sister, that'd be great. After Danny dropped his sister off on him, and he had to, like, show her around and, like, drive her around, like, I don't think he did anything out of the ordinary. He didn't fuck her. Like, he didn't make out with her, he didn't, like, and if she wanted to, he doesn't have to approve it with fucking Danny anyways either, you know what I mean?
Well, Kyle, according to your thesis, they're not people anymore, so he does have to get approval from Danny.
No, I don't think he has to get approval. I think he just has to bring, like, 13 cows. And then he's able to ask her out.
A baker's dozen cows.
A big old bake-a-dove, baby.
So this scene is where I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this woman? So he like gives her the money back. He basically shoes the dude she came with.
Yeah.
The guy's like, I can leave. And he's like, cool, fucking leave. And
yeah, get out, bitch.
And then he sits down with her and he's like, look, why are you being pissed at me? And she's like, I'm not pissed at you. I want your D. And he's like, what? And then he finds out she's like, girl. What? You okay?
I'm not pissed with you. I just want your D.
Like, he finds out that an old girlfriend of hers is somebody he went out with twice. And she gave her the inside dirt about his D. And now he's like, she's ready to go. And he's like, okay, you want to go back with me then? And
yeah,
she looks like...
This is an awkward experience between two people, for sure.
She also looks like she had a minor anxiety attack when he's like, you want to go up with me? And she's like, what? Dude, you mean for reals? And then we have ourselves just a fun, awkward sex scene.
I mean, bravo to probably a show written by men, that they showed a woman being like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore, and a man actually like being like, okay, cool, I'll stop.
Yep, it was very cool of them, I guess.
I mean, they've already established that they're not really humans, so at least it was, like, cool that they let her, like, have choice over her own body.
Yeah, it was a very interesting... Because she's, like, scrambling to get dressed again, and then she's like, yeah, I gotta go, and then she has a bit of a breakdown where she's crying. And then Danny, being the good dude that he is like, no, you don't have to go. We'll just cuddle.
Oh, motherfucking Captain America. Sorry.
Yeah.
It was between him or Chris Evans, I heard, so.
Well, it is funny. It is funny because he's like, all I wanted was some company. And he's like, so if you just want to stay up here and we'll just sleep, that's fine. And he's like, so I wanted you to just come up. I mean, the pussy was a bonus. Like, that's found money if you're down to have sex.
That's found.
But if you just want to hang out, that's also cool. And then he does his tight five about just staying up there to sleep. Where he's like, yeah, we'll lay down, but for non-sexual purposes only. And she's, like, laughing and giggling. He's like, yeah, we're going to take your pants off, but not have any sex.
It's pretty funny.
I think, did I write it down? I think I did. Where is it?
And so you don't like her acting.
I thought it was weird. I thought it was very weird. But it might just be because it's an awkward situation. But I wanted to read off this line that I had to write down and underline. At one point he says, no, I'll just hold you, ... Here, take your pants off.
That's a hell of a good line, dude.
Like, that was great. Fantastic.
That's a hell of a good line. Hold on, take your pants off.
Yeah.
So, I don't like this episode.
Is it because you hate Baker?
No, I actually think, this is weird, I think Baker is one of the better, how do I say this? I think all of the side characters act like shit in that episode, okay. Other than Baker.
Okay.
And the doo-wop guy, what's his name? JB.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I'm in agreement with you. I think the girl is bad. I think she's too much of a roller coaster with her acting. I'm not trying to spoil anything. I was never a fan of Laughlin as an actor.
Okay.
And for some reason, like, this is the beginning of Laughlin, and there's many more years of Laughlin. I never thought he was a good actor. I think The Crackhead is okay. But, like, for overall, I don't like... I think maybe that's good for, maybe that's good on the writing part, because I get so angry with, like, how obsessive they are with just not getting the cops in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're not doing their fucking job just so they don't get cops in trouble, and it just racks my brain and drives me crazy.
Yeah, maybe
that's what it was supposed to do.
Yeah, it's an entire episode of how do we go about this where we don't get the cops in trouble, even though every sign is pointing to them doing really fucked up shit. It's interesting.
It's not something I search out to watch, you know. So like when it's like there all the time, I'm like, oh well, this is annoying.
It's interesting that you brought up the guy who played Laughlin. That was played by Anthony Mangano, M-A-N-G-A-N-O. I did not realize this. I must be slipping. He was the off-duty cop in Point Break, if anybody remembers, who shot at the ex-presidents and then gets shot by Patrick Swayze.
I've never seen Point Break.
What? The fuck are you talking about? You gotta see Point Break. It's so good.
There's a lot of things I need to do, and I gotta do, but Point Break ain't one of them, brother. but I get what you're saying. I hear it's a good movie. I think as the kids would say, it's a classique.
I also wanted to mention Sherry Rappaport, who played Mary Franco. She hasn't really been in much either.
Yeah, I wonder why, dude.
She was on the Drew Carey Show.
Ooh, interesting.
CSI and Xena Warrior Princess.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Good for her? Question mark.
Yeah. Anyway, the episode of Xena that she's in is titled "Adventures in the Sin Trade." So, probably fun.
Probably good too.
But that's it for Loogie Nights. Anything else you wanted to add before we call it quits?
No, not really.
All right. Thank you again for listening to NYPD Blue Balls, the first episode of Season 7. If you need more NYPD Blue in your life, you can find the show on Hulu, and you can purchase it on Amazon, and you could purchase the DVDs, which I know is difficult in different countries, but it's worth buying. Anyway, in regards to the DVDs and Hulu, there is a sentence in the description of this episode, Loogie Nights, that I wanted to talk about. At the very end of the description, it says, "Medavoy and Martinez arrest a man for throwing horse manure at parade watchers." We didn't just leave it out. It wasn't in the episode we watched. There's a part in the beginning where Medavoy talks about it, but we never have anything regarding that investigation, that arrest, nothing. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it was a part of a longer episode that got cut for TV or cut for syndication and HD upgrade. I am not sure what's going on. Maybe there's some research out there to figure out what happened. I didn't find it in the time it took to prepare for this. I apologize, but there might be another version of this episode coming out later. Either way, NYPD Blue Balls is back.